Hi there, sorry. Just
No,
getting
no worries at
logged
all. I don't know about you guys, but I often find that one call back to back to another means everything's running a little, there's a little lag time. We'll give the public one more minute to see if any public join close to the top of the hour, and then we can get going. Okay, well, it is 103 according to my various devices. So this is Christine Reynolds serving as chair of the Municipal Debt Advisory Commission, and I will call this meeting on June 25th, 2026, to order. Welcome all members and any members of the public that choose to join. Just as a matter of roll call and for the official audio record, let's just go around and confirm who's in attendance, starting with Jaime.
Sure. Jaime Alvarez, Director of Debt Management, Oregon State Treasury.
Great. And Brett?
Brett Yancey, Chief Operations Officer, Springfield Schools, and the Oregon School Boards Oregon School Boards Association representative.
Thank you. Eileen?
Eileen Hendricks, Port of Morrow, and the Special District's representative.
And Michelle.
Michelle Waring, Chief Financial Officer, City of Hillsborough, League of Oregon Cities representative.
Excellent. Thank you all for joining. We're here today to review, discuss, and approve the annual report of the Municipal Debt Advisory Commission that has been prepared by the State Treasurer's team, with many thanks and appreciation to the team for that process, and then cover the other items on the agenda to the extent there's any items for discussion with respect to public comment and with respect to anything for the 2027 legislative session. Appreciate everybody's time in gathering and time reviewing and preparing the annual report. I think that's all for my at least initial message. Jaime, can I turn it over to you for a brief summary of the annual report?
Sure. Thank you so much. We have a presentation that we're going to go through. It is relatively quick. We just kind of touch on some of the updates of the report itself. But before I begin, I know the commissioners know this, but I do like to kind of speak every year on the data itself that we present and kind of our process and kind of what we go through to validate some of that data. So we're very cognizant that you all rely on Treasury for the figures that we present here. So we take that data validation process very seriously and understand the importance of accurate data. Treasury's role is to act as a clearinghouse for all the bond data submitted via the MDAC process, and we provide tracking, reporting, and overlapping debt reports to the various local issuers as requested. As part of our process, we internally have staff that review all the MDACs that are submitted. As you can imagine, they're a little bit difficult to catch all mistakes as they're coming through, as we're not always in the weeds of every transaction. And obviously there's changes to some of those transactions in terms of structure when they get finalized. But to try and alleviate that and catch anything that we might have missed, every couple years, Treasury does initiate a local debt verification process. So through that process, we aim to collect all the data from the different issuers that was submitted through our bond tracker system and validate that data that we have on record for each one of the issuers. So obviously, this is a pretty large undertaking. It takes us a pretty long time to kind of get through that process. And we don't always get a response from everybody, but we typically get a very, very good response in terms of percentage. I think we're always above 90% response rate for any of the issuers that we kind of try to validate the data from. So all that to say, you know, we do also work on any corrections throughout the year. As issuers request reports or overlapping debt reports, either they notice it or we notice it. We do corrections and address those as those come up. So all that to say that this is the data that has gone through that process, and it's an ongoing process to kind of keep that data accurate and up to date. So with that, we can go to the presentation. Yeah, okay. So we plan to review a few items here, the typical subjects and areas that we've talked about in the past. Next slide. One more. So we have here the issuance summary. In 2025, issuance was up by 43% from 2024. So local issuers issued about 1.2 billion more in debt, which is significant. So what happened? The majority of this increase is attributed to an increased issuance by school districts. And we at Treasury see a number of these issuances come through as they, you know, apply to the state guarantee program that we operate. And it also comes down to a lot of referendums that were passed at the local level for the increase in this activity. I think the other thing I can point to is the amount of issuance and the reception that issuers have received from investors has helped achieve lower rates, this is just generally, broadly speaking. So that combined with refundings that have become a little bit more attractive have helped drive up volume. So again, year over year, it seems like, just speaking from like a larger muni perspective, there's been a lot of volume that's been being issued by the different issuers, not just within Oregon, but also across the nation. So at the end of calendar year 25, the total indebtedness of local issuers was a little over 40 billion, which was about 3.3 billion higher than 2024. Next slide. So here we have a breakdown of the data we received for local issuers in 25. This data is based on information that, again, that we collect through our bond tracker system and go through our validation process. The upper left shows the debt issued by county, with Multnomah County leading in issuance, as was the case last year, and is followed by Washington County, then Clackamas County. These top issuers make up about 72% of all the debt that was issued. The chart on the right shows issuance by purpose, with education, utilities, and transportation being the top three categories. Together, they total about $3 billion, or about 74% of the issuance. And in the chart at the bottom displays the issuance by purpose, with the dots representing the number of issuance for each. So the largest purpose shown here is education, as I mentioned earlier. And we can see the dot representing the 30 issues matching the table above. Okay, next slide. On this slide, we have the total outstanding by issuer type with the corresponding trend over the last 5 years. So again, as of the end of calendar year 2025, we have a total indebtedness of about 40.8 billion. In the various issuer type categories listed here. The top three categories are schools, cities, and ports, totaling about 27 billion or about 67% of outstanding, which I am now noticing we did not sort by outstanding. So that may be a little bit difficult to see here in the table. We'll correct that in the report if it's not sorted by outstanding, which should hopefully make it easier on the eyes to kind of recognize. The chart on the right shows local government issuance by type per year stacked. So for 2025, you can see an increase in issuance compared to the last 2 to 3 years. And the chart below shows total outstanding principal by year, also reflecting an increase overall over the last four or five years. Okay, next slide. So no change to this slide. This slide's a repeat. We've been continuing to show it over the last couple of years. And part of that is because there has been no POBs or pension obligation bonds issued over the last couple of years. Since 21, local issuers issued $1.9 billion in pension bonds shown here. And we will continue to show this slide just as a matter of process and transparency. From a state perspective, we have seen various investment firms pitching a potential refunding for where it may or may not make sense to issue pension obligation bonds, but we have not seen anything compelling. And obviously, where rates have been over the last couple of years, and in terms of return on investment, it just does not make sense. And it's obviously represented here with the lack of issuance. Next slide. So next we have the OSBG program, which was established to aid schools and community colleges with the more favorable terms when accessing the capital markets. As of 25 fiscal year end, the OSBG program had guaranteed approximately $10 billion. Debt service on OSBG guaranteed bonds was approximately $944 million, and that's of state net general fund revenues, and approximately 16.5 of state aid for fiscal year 26. One thing to note in the chart below is that the combined OSBG guaranteed debt service and POB debt service totaled approximately $1.5 billion in fiscal year 26, and in aggregate, it's about 26% of state aid. So obviously, you can see that the trend here continues in the use of the guarantee program, which we continue to support and include updated information as the program gets more and more utilized. And a lot of this information is also presented to the State Debt Policy Advisory Commission annually, and in particular ahead of any larger legislative session, so they can kind of take this into account when working on the budget. Okay, next slide. Okay. So bond tracker. We have been working on making improvements to our bond tracker system, and working with the feedback that we've received. We rolled out some upgrades in August of last year. The system upgrades included a variety of security updates, but also, more importantly, streamlined the login process, where users no longer had to remote in to the desktop application. So, this is an in-house program that is managed through Treasury and through our internal IT applications team. So we're constantly making updates to the system. It's not a software system that we purchased from a third party. So obviously we rely on local issuers to kind of give us feedback, and we're able to kind of make custom adjustments as needed. But these updates have dramatically improved the speed and reliability of the system, which is part of what we're trying to achieve, especially those as they're going through the MDAC submission process. So to that end, we've received great feedback so far from the various users. We we'll continue to make look for improvements into the future. And we do already have a few that we're have in mind that for that are in line for improvements over the next couple years. But we're working through some of those kinks and making sure and getting our applications team, making sure that they can achieve some of those improvements that we want. So more to come on that in the future. I think the other thing I wanted, I left it off the slide, but that I wanted to touch on real quick is, and this is my last slide. So with that, it concludes my presentation. But the one thing I did, I think we've mentioned before in this slide that I felt to include was the FDTA and how that might be incorporated into our bond tracker system versus other issuers. And I know there's been some guidance that just came out, even though implementation is still kind of a ways out. So we have not directly made a lot of, even though we think our system will be robust enough to accommodate some of those guidance that come down later, we have not made some specific to that yet. So we do kind of caution you all, at least for now, to wait till that final guidance comes out before engaging in any software that may meet some of those requirements. And I think once that finally does come out, you know, I'll get with the, you know, Treasurer will get with the chair to kind of whether to include that in the next meeting or depending on timeline and how that works out to maybe call a different meeting or I you know, to see how we would address it and kind of relay that information out. I think that's it on my end. A copy of the report was circulated, as the chair mentioned. So any comments that you all have or that if you want to send over, we will definitely incorporate it into the final report. But I think that's it from my end.
Great. Thank you so much, Jaime. Really appreciate it and understood and agreed with respect to FDTA in terms of implementation and ongoing guidance. I suspect for those that are looking to attend, will be attending the National GFOA conference next week, that there may be, I think there is a session with respect to FDTA there, and Emily Brock always provides an excellent update and is very connected with the ongoing evolution of where FDTA stands in the grand scheme of things. So more to come on that front. It's just opening it up for any questions from members of the commission or comments with respect to either the presentation Jaime just provided or the report in general. All right, I am not seeing a clamor of comments. In that regard, then I would entertain a motion from any members of the commission with respect to accepting the report as provided for release and publication.
Christina, I go ahead and make that motion.
Great. And is there a second?
I will second that.
Thank you, Brett and Michelle. One more time, I will open the floor for any discussion or comment with respect to the report. I'll just add, as we provided comments here, again, a thank you to Jaime and the Treasury team for the work involved, especially the process in verification every 2 years. That is obviously an intensive process, and the time involved is most appreciated. And, you know, just for the record, to say that as you're going through that now and in the future, to the extent there are, you know, particular governmental sectors or issuers that are not necessarily responding, I'm sure you would reach out to various representatives of the MDAC for any assistance in reaching their respective colleagues, if that can be helpful at all. We're all happy to aid in that process if beneficial.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it's typically usually more of a we end up finding that it's usually more of a technology issue where we either have the wrong email address or, you know, it's just more of a communication issue.
Understood. Well, in that sense, with that in mind, we'll take the motion in second and ask for a vote for approving and releasing the annual report. All members in favor, please indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposing? Or anyone abstaining? Hearing no opposition or abstentions, the motion is passed and the report is presented and ready for publication. Thank you again to the Treasury team. The next item on the agenda is the 2027, believe it or not, legislative session, statutory review and corrections. I know the meeting agenda was distributed widely and we don't have any members of the community in attendance that I can see on the screen. Sarah, or members of the public that are on, please correct me if I'm missing anyone. Wanted to just open the floor then for any comments from members of the commission. If you're aware of any areas of the Oregon statutes, whether they be the specific public finance statutes in ORS 286A for the state issuances and 287A for governmental issuances as the overarching umbrella statutes, or specific statutes for your respective areas of public sector issuance, whether there are any items that you're aware of at the moment that are in need of attention from a legislative revision and update perspective. I see a shaking of the heads and no microphones opening. So assuming that at this time, that means that no commission members are aware of anything. I will follow this email, this meeting up with an email out to the group that was widely emailed about this to give one final call for anything. There may be often some of the professional, the third party professional members of the community have things on their mind and their wish list that may or may not be circulating with the governmental issuers themselves. So pinging the bankers, lawyers, and municipal advisors for one last bit of feedback to see if there's anything out there.
Yeah, and I think in terms of timing, because if we do get any type of revision that we may have to, which Treasury would have to support or carry a bill for, I think it would be helpful to have anything before September timeframe. I know I'm being very general. I think September, even up to October. I can get more specific, Chair, and give you a more specific date. Just there's some concepts, or depending on the amount of changes or corrections, might have to be have a little bit more lead time than others. I think we could probably go a little bit further if it's not a substantial change, but Just want to throw that out there so we have we're all aware of the timing constraints.
Thank you, Jaime. I appreciate that, and I think it's quite reasonable to give people a deadline, and deadlines help people focus the attention. So you know, maybe suggesting a Labor Day deadline just to keep people's feet under the fire. A more present deadline tends to focus the mind. So I will, as I indicated, follow up this meeting with an email out to the community on the email distribution list with a call for any MDEC cleanup provisions or any other larger substantive issues to see if we can solicit any outreach or concerns from the community. And if none, all the better. I think Oregon has been very fortunate to have strong public finance statutes and a strong communication among the community, Treasury, and the legislature when there are issues or considerations.
Great.
Moving to the fifth item on the agenda, public comment or other business, calling on members of the commission, any other business or public comment or issues to raise while we are gathered. Seeing no hands raised or folks starting to speak from the commission, I'll pause once again. I do not believe any other members of the public have joined, but is there any other public comment?
There are no members of the public.
Thank you, Sarah, for that confirmation. I appreciate it. All right. Seeing no other public comment, I will then adjourn this meeting of the Oregon Municipal Debt Advisory Commission. Thank the commissioners for their time and attendance, and we'll look forward to connecting in the future. And again, please, to the extent any of the members of the commission present or otherwise have items for consideration, please don't hesitate to reach out to me, to Jaime, to both of us. We're happy to assist in addressing any concerns.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great day.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.